Bruce Springsteen, Born to Run for Samantha to start the hour, and Mark Knopfler and James Taylor with Sailing to Philadelphia for a PAM, Exercise and Movement. That's some sad news this morning, Sarah. Morris the cockerel, whose owner was taken to court over his early morning crowing, has died at the age of six.
Young, isn't it? Six for a cockerel.
Is it?
I don't know.
Did they tend to go on longer?
I thought so.
He gained international support and became a symbol of a campaign to protect the sounds of the French countryside after finding himself at the centre of a legal dispute over noise pollution. But in 2019, a court ruled in Morris's favour, and he lived out the rest of his days at home on the Isle of Oléron. The bird reportedly died in May, but his owner waited to break the news. I said to myself that with lockdown, people already had enough to worry about, said Corinne Fesseau. We bought a new cockerel and we've called him Maurice too. He sings just as well, but he will never be our Maurice.
10 to 15 years.
Really?
Depending on many factors, apparently.
Goodness me. Morris's troubles began when a retired couple who owned a holiday home in Oléron accused the bird of disturbing them, probably from Paris, no doubt. He then became a celebrity of sorts in France, where the Gallic cockerel is one of the national emblems, and a petition to save him gained tens of thousands of signatures. And Madame Fesseau, who's lived on Oléron for 35 years, would have had to move or somehow silence Morris if the judge had ruled against her. Could she put an elastic band around his beak?
No.
No. But in September last year, the judge sided with Morris's owners and ordered the plaintiffs to pay €1,000 in damages. It's a victory for everyone in the same situation as me, said Madame Fesseau. I hope it will set a precedent for them. Honestly, you go to the countryside and don't expect the kind of farmyard noises. You've gone to the wrong place. Now, did you see Monsieur Alain Robert on the front page
of the Nice Notice? On the front page, and he saw it as well. He posted it on Facebook last night, and then I got an eyeful of it this morning.
A Star is Born.
Yes.
Yes, from the Fête de la Musique a couple of years ago. It's a good photo, actually.
It's a brilliant photo. Yeah,
just
well
shows you what a megastar Alan Roberts is.
Certainly.
Around the region.
Mm.
And he's chosen Stretch. Very
good. Hey, well done.
And why did you do it?
It wasn't me, it was him.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Morning.
How are we today?
Very well, thank you.
Good. Anything else
What's
to
so
say?
What's so funny?
No, nothing.
This is an interview. You ask me questions.
You won't be
I
laughing in
them.
A minute. Okay.
People are well informed.
I'm going to ask you a question. Richard's got a bee in his bonnet about your views on trade yesterday.
Okay, I can't remember what I was talking about. I was trying not to be overly political. You seem to have tried to drag me down the line of trying to defend the UK economy.
You said it was a great opportunity to strike out new markets, etc.
Okay. Well, I was just sort of playing along with you a little bit yesterday.
He sent me the official Office of National Statistics figures for the main UK exports from 2016.
Good.
And, of course, no surprise to see the European Union way out in front. Yeah. You have to go down to 12th place to find Australia, and New Zealand isn't even on it. So he says
it shows you the importance of rebalancing, doesn't it?
Well, he says it's not
far too reliant.
It's not just about trade, unless Tim Tams and cheap lamb is your priority in life. Exports are what the UK needs to pay for those Tim Tams and lamb chops, and for just about everything else.
This is very true. Important markets. And listen, I was sort of playing along a little bit with you yesterday. Listen, the reality is Europe is our most important trading partner for goods, but also in terms of services. There's not the clarity that's required. The hope is, of course, as we go through these next few weeks, we will get greater clarity in terms of the future trading relationship.
Okay, I've been listening to quite a lot of radio about this trade deal with New Zealand and Australia, and the views of quite a few Kiwis and Australians who, if they were old enough to remember in 1973 when Britain joined the common market, they felt absolutely betrayed. Because Britain had been one of the main trading partners with New Zealand and Australia before that. All of a sudden, tariffs came in. We started exporting more to Europe to take advantage of no tariffs. And, they got used to the idea. So consequently, and another thing which isn't mentioned often is geographical proximity. Australia and New Zealand see their main trading partners as being Southeast Asia, China in particular, whereas, of course, Britain is right next door to the European Union. And, of course, if you're exporting to the other side of the world, it's going to cost you more money. Is that going to negate any break in tariffs?
One would expect. So, listen, there's no alternative. Europe is the world's largest single market. It's 500 million people. It's more than £11 trillion. being part of the European Union means that we haven't been affected by trade barriers, by associated tariffs that could be put in place. Now, replacing that and coming out of that system is clearly going to have short-term negative consequences. The question is, can you rebalance it by going elsewhere in the world to fast-growing parts of the world? Europe's not the fastest-growing place, it has to be said, and try to move on from that. And you know, the reality is the economic arguments about leaving the European Union were never going to be strong, to be honest with you. Most of the debate, if you remember going back to the campaign, was very much around sovereignty and the UK having its own ability to determine its own course. And, you know, the numbers don't play into that in the same fashion.
I thought it was all about bendy bananas and pounds, shillings and pence.
That was the other aspect of it.
Yeah, the question remains, why is this government going to be the first government in history to inflict economic damage on its own economy?
Well, that's what the British people voted for. That's what the referendum was about. Whether they understood the ramification of that or not is perhaps a debate for another day, but it looks like it's going to happen. The people have asked for it to happen. You've got respect democracy.
OK, right, that's your final word. Markets mixed yesterday, still concerns over coronavirus, and a President Trump rattling the sabres against China again.
Yeah, investors have been digesting a range of things. The latest economic data releases, rising geopolitical tensions and reports about fresh outbreaks of the coronavirus in the United States and China. Weekly jobless claims showed the US labour market remained under pressure. 1.5 million, it's the fewest weekly applications since mid-March. Shows the pace of layoffs is no longer significantly easing. Lots of focus, of course, on the Bank of England yesterday announcing a £100 billion increase in the size of its bond buying programme, but slowed the pace quite sharply on signs that survey data has been improving as the country emerges from lockdown. They plan to stretch the programme out until the end of the year, although it's still a pretty aggressive timetable by any historic standard. The governor saying yesterday taking borrowing costs below zero was complex and was not in any way imminent, so perhaps downplaying the idea the UK could be looking at negative interest rates. European equities closed down yesterday, down around 0.5%. S&P pretty much closed flat. Oil prices pushed higher, this after OPEC producers and allies promised to meet their supply cut commitments, and traders point to reports that demand has been recovering well. Opening calls on the European bourses this morning, a little bit mixed, but currently calling the FTSE up 6 points. DAX over in Frankfurt up 11 points. CAC in Paris down 1 point.
You're quite good at this, really, aren't you? I mean, you know, you're better than all the politicians put together. They should put you up in the daily press conference. You need to have better answers than the most of them.
Well, you seem to have dragged me into the political arena, one that I tried to stay away from, some of the arguments for and against the Brexit debate.
The cruise industry is on its knees, isn't it?
It really is. Shares in Carnival under pressure once again yesterday after the cruise operator reported a quarterly loss of $4.4 billion. It took a major write-down on the value of its ships and was virtually paralysed by the global COVID-19 pandemic travel lockdown. Cruise industry, as you say, has been one of the hardest hit by the global health crisis, the industry having some of the highest, earliest, high-profile outbreaks. Carnival said it's burning through cash at the rate, wait for this, $650 million per month. They recently raised actually $4 billion through a bond issue, paying a coupon of 12%. They said they would speed up the sales of more ships. Carnival shares, no surprise, been a poor performer, lost more than half their value since the start of the year. Although in April they traded as low as $7.80. Yesterday they were trading around $19.
Foreign exchange's pound's taking a bit of a beating, isn't it?
Yeah, concerns around what's happening in terms of Brexit, the aggressive measures, of course, being taken by the Bank of England, playing out a little bit there. Pound against the dollar down to 1.24 this morning. Euro dollar coming in at 1.12. Just going to get under 1 euro 11 cents for your British pound this morning.
Who did thank him? And my final parry to you is that if the British people did vote for Brexit, which is fair enough, I mean, we were done and dusted with Brexit, but it was up to the government whether they wanted to drag the country out of the single market and the customs union as well.
Yeah, we'll leave that for the politicians to decide, and we'll talk about the economic impact of it.
Righty-ho, have a lovely weekend. Friday's amongst us best day of the week. Had to say that before I let you go.
Enjoy your weekend, my friend.
You too. Talk to you Monday. Hank Potts and Barclays.
on FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Leinster has the top stories across the Riviera.
A young woman in her 20s has been taken to hospital in a serious condition after being hit by a car while on her scooter. The accident occurred around 5 p.m. in Nice near the Parc Phoenix on Thursday on the Promenade des Anglais. Police have appealed for any witnesses to come forward. In other news, Professor Didier Raoult has warned of the risk of a new wave of coronavirus in France next winter. The Director General of Marseille Hospital, who was widely solicited following his views on the controversial treatment of hydroxychloroquine for COVID-19, says that being unable to predict the future, there is a possibility of a second wave, and France needs to watch very closely this eventuality. Meanwhile, France's Premier League football team, AS Saint-Étienne, announced on Thursday that five footballers have tested positive for COVID-19. Testing was carried out before returning to the pitch on Wednesday. 33 players and 21 management staff were tested. And according to the ASSE, this screening campaign demonstrates that the people who tested positive had actually contracted the virus during the lockdown period when they were not in contact with each other. The players are now confined to their homes and are subject to support by the club's medical staff. They'll undergo additional examinations within 24 hours. In England, where the championship resumed on Wednesday, only one positive case was detected during the last series of tests on players and members of management of the clubs of the Premier League out of 1,213 people who were tested. A swimming area in La Seine-sur-Mer has been temporarily closed due to micropollution of a biological origin. According to the municipality, the closure affects the area of Mar Vivo Beach, and tests are being carried out, the results of which should be known by Saturday. The Prefecture of the Alpes-Maritimes has announced that spontaneous street concerts will be prohibited on the Côte d'Azur on Sunday. As France prepares to celebrate this year's Fête de la Musique, the usual gatherings of crowds in the streets and outside of cafes and restaurants will be somewhat different due to the coronavirus epidemic and the ban on public gatherings of more than 10 people. Exceptions have been made, with special requests being authorised following prior demand to the prefect from bars and restaurants. Monegasque authorities have decided to crack down on the irresponsible disposal of face masks in the principality. From now on, abandoning a disposable mask on the pavement or in the gutter will be met with a €300 fine. Young designer Pauline Ducret, a daughter of Princess Stephanie of Monaco and niece to His Serene Highness Prince Albert II of Monaco, is presenting her latest collection of Alta, her unisex fashion brand created in 2018. The pop-up store is open until Sunday the 21st of June here on the port at the Riva Tunnel right next to Riviera Radio. Finally, 2.5 weeks since the reopening of bars and restaurants in the Principality this evening, it will be the emblematic three-star Louis Cannes Alain Ducasse restaurant that will be welcoming its first customers.
Riviera Radio, sports news.
Your shout, isn't it?
Why not?
The Louis Cannes.
Yeah, it looks nice.
Yeah, okay.
Nice terrace outside.
You got your gold credit card with you?
I certainly have.
I'll just go for the 9 courses.
That's fine.
Football, there's a full programme in the English Premier League this weekend, and we will be doing our predictions for the first time in quite a while after the latest from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Andy Barwell at the BBC Sports Centre. The Tottenham Hotspur boss, Jose Mourinho, has confirmed that Harry Kane will start Friday's Premier League home game against Manchester United. The club's star striker hasn't played since a hamstring tear against Southampton on New Year's Day required surgery, but has regained full fitness during lockdown.
He's working extremely well. I can tell you, no problem. He's going to start the game. Does Harry have 90 minutes, 80, 70, 60? I don't know. I think only the game will tell us that. Is he in the top of his form? We don't know. It's around 6 months without playing a football match, but he worked extremely well. He's an amazing professional.
Meanwhile, Manchester United say that they will donate all proceeds to the Kick It Out campaign if fans choose to get Black Lives Matter printed on their shirts. The former Chelsea and Denmark international Bjarne Goldbach has told the BBC that his former club and the German striker Timo Werner are the perfect match. Werner, who's 24, has agreed personal terms and subject to passing a medical, will join in July from RB Leipzig for around £49 million. That's around $60 million US after the German Bundesliga campaign has ended.
Good choice, Chelsea. Premier League anyway, a good choice. Most interesting league in the world, the fastest, the most competitive, you name it. Chelsea, I think it's a very good time to move to Chelsea now. It's a young team, it's a young manager. It's a transformation. So I think this is the right choice. They will get a very, very speedy, determining player.
And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League Update from the home of Premier League football.
Watch out, everybody else, next season. Chelsea are coming back. Right, so we have two games tonight in the Premier League. Norwich against Southampton.
Norwich against Southampton, yeah. I'm going to go for Southampton.
Norwich for me.
Okay.
I think the form puts out the window. Norwich, you know, they can play well at times, and you know, maybe they back their ideas up after having 100 days off. We'll see, but they really need the points, don't they? Spurs against Manchester United.
Draw or Man United Man match United. Winner. Yeah.
Rashford to score the winner.
Yes.
Hopefully. Sorry, Spurs fans. Saturday, Watford against Leicester.
Leicester.
Yeah, Brighton against Arsenal.
Brighton against... I'm going to go for... Well, both teams will score. Whether or not one team will get more than the other, isn't it? Sorry, I've been out of practice. Arsenal.
I'm going for a draw. West Ham against Wolves.
West Ham.
Wolves. Bournemouth against Crystal Palace.
Crystal Palace.
Ball draw. On Sunday, Newcastle against Sheffield United.
Sheffield.
I think so, yeah. Yeah. Aston Villa against Chelsea.
It's going to be Chelsea, come on.
Okay, and Everton at home to Liverpool.
It's going to be Liverpool.
I think so, yeah. And that could actually clinch you the title if Manchester City slip up against Burnley on Monday, but I don't think that's going to happen.
You never know. Stranger things have happened.
Manchester City for me. Rugby Union, the English Rugby Football Union, is reviewing fans' use of Swing Low Sweet Chariots after saying many people don't know about its links with slavery. A spokesperson said the union needed to do more to grow awareness. The RFU said it was reviewing the historical context of the song and its role in educating fans to make informed decisions. Swing Low Sweet Chariots is thought to have been written in the mid-19th century by Wallace Willis, who was a black slave. Its first known use at Twickenham was in 1987 when Martin Chariots of Fire played in the Middlesex Sevens tournaments. Golf, Ian Poulter shares the lead following the first round of the RCB Heritage at Hilton Head Island. Poulter shot a 7 under par 64 to share the lead with Mark Hubbard of the United States. Webb Simpson is one of a cluster of players on 6 under. And in racing, Stradivarius, with Frankie Dettori on board, pulled off a third successive Gold Cup victory at Royal Ascot on Thursday. The 4-5 on favourites made his move with 2 furlongs to go and won by 10 lengths, with Nayef Rhodes second and Cross Counter in third. Stradivarius joined Segarra and Yates in winning the highlights of Royal Ascot 3 times. Today's feature race is the Commonwealth Cup, which is off at 4:35 French time. The Wesley Ward-trained Kimari is the favourite for the race for 3-year-old sprinters, which is over 6 furlongs.
The Marine Weather Forecast, brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Be safe on the seas with Oyster Yachts.
For coastal areas, up to 20 miles offshore the Outre-Maritime and Navarre, it's that old depression, 1,013 millibars between Corsica and continental France, has been stuck around here for days now. Winds variable, force 2 to 4, picking up to force 4 to 6 west of San Rafael later. The sea is slight, becoming moderate west of San Rafael. Visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,012 millibars. And the outlook for Saturday, clear skies, force 3 to 4 northeasterly winds, slight seas, then good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are southwesterly, force 3 to 5, locally force 6. The sea is moderate, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,012 millibars. And the outlook for Saturday, clear skies, force 3 to 4, westerly winds, slight seas and good visibility.
The Marine Weather Forecast, brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Crafted by British boat builders since 1973, the best ocean-going sailing yachts in the world. The world is your oyster. Make Oyster your world. OysterYachts.com.
Riviera Radio. Weather.
Mainly fine today, but a moderate to strong westerly wind developing across the Var. Top temperatures 25 to 28 degrees, up to 82 degrees Fahrenheit. Overnight lows 18 degrees on the coast, 13 degrees inland with clear skies. Now the weekend finding coastal areas some showers inland tomorrow afternoon, highs of 24 to 27 degrees. Finally,
a rare and revolutionary watch which belonged to King George III is expected to fetch up to £1 million at auction. The French watchmaking genius Abraham Louis Breguet, is it? Breguet.
Yeah.
Made the gold tourbillon watch, which represented cutting-edge technology in the early 19th century.
King George III, you said?
Yes.
Must have been mad.
Anyway, the watches of the era were much sought off after by crowned heads of Europe, from Marie Antoinette and the King of Spain to Napoleon.
He wouldn't be able to look at it when he was in a straitjacket, would he?
No. Mm. You don't wear a watch, do you?
I did, but then I got I lost it.
So that was it, you didn't replace it.
Yeah, I was never a big watch fan, and I started wearing one for fashion reasons a few years ago.
Don't make me laugh, I've got a split lip.
Well, you know, you don't need a watch, do you?
It's the fashion bit.
Constantly surrounded by time, aren't we? You know, I've got 5 clocks in here, phone, you know, everywhere you go.
Okay.
But interesting to see in that... Inside Monaco program about the casino, because normally they don't put clocks in casinos because they like people to just lose track of time.
Time, yes.
But there is one in the Monaco casino because it was built on the size of the old railway station.
Exactly.
And that's the railway station clock, apparently.
Yeah.
Nice clock for a railway station.